Welcome to Ask the Coach, a series of exclusive conversations with the most successful strength coach in the world, Coach Charles Poliquin. This is Poliquin Podcast number 5, Brain Nutrition. Now, here is Charles in conversation with Owen Lacey.
Hello, my name is Owen Lacey. I have the pleasure of interviewing Charles Poliquin today on the importance of brain building nutrition for sport performance. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you, Owen.
Charles, our topic today in relation to brain building nutrition, can you give us your protocols on how you use brain nutrition for sport performance?
Well, brain function is essential for sports for performance because it governs all. It can impact on, for example, increased neural drive to the muscles you want to recruit. It can impact on how motivated you are towards training, but also it impacts on how fast you recover from training loads. There are many aspects of sports performance that can be helped by improved sports nutrition for the brain.
Have you got a list of your top 5 brain building nutrition for sports performance?
Well, the quintessential supplement that all athletes should use is omega-3s. But for brain building purposes, you will find that the omega-3 DHA is of a greater importance. The reason being is that DHA is found mainly in fast twitch fibers. And since most sports require high speed, one would need more DHA. And if strength is very important, DHA is of critical importance. A DHA deficiency will reduce nerve conduction velocity. So if your omega-3 levels are not at optimal level, it will greatly influence negatively your sports performance. But with omega-3s, there are two things you should know. If we are talking about EPA, you will find it mainly in large types of fish. And EPA is more important to reduce inflammation in the body. So if your athlete or your personal training client is showing signs of inflammation, let's say like increased blood pressure or elevated blood fats, then a rich compound in EPA is more indicated. But if the athlete presents with symptoms of dysfunction in cognitive areas, let's say poor attention span, then you want to use fish oils with high concentration of DHA. Those fish oils commonly come from small fish. So the rule of thumb is big fish, EPA, small fish, DHA. So that would be like herring, sardines, and so on. And you will find usually that those fish come from very cold waters. So I like to use very high dosage compared to what many fellow practitioners would use. I find that to increase brain function, I would probably recommend 30 grams of fish oil with a high DHA concentration, which would turn out to be about 15 grams a day of the single DHA molecule.
And how would you take that during the day?
Well, all omega-3s regulate insulin production. And the more you can mitigate insulin response, the better you'll perform mentally. Because, for example, if you have a high-sugar meal, you will find that, you may feel energetic for a few minutes. But as soon as your insulin kicks in, you will be quite tired. It is a hormone of aging. The more insulin you produce in your life, the faster you will age. Therefore, it's really important to mitigate insulin response. So I prefer to use the dose divided by the number of meals the athlete take. And typically, I will recommend 6 meals a day. So if the person is taking 30 grams of fish oil, that would mean 5 grams of fish oil per meal. And that would be the equivalent of a teaspoon of a high DHA concentrate.
And is there any telltale signs that someone's omega-3 deficient?
The best way to look for omega-3 deficiency is actually a red blood cell analysis. It's not available for everybody, but if you have poor attention span, poor memory, difficulty to concentrate, usually that's a sign of DHA deficiency.
And dietary protocols to maximize fish oil benefits, would it be low carb or what would you follow with dietary?
Well, I think that most humans would be far better off following what has been called a Paleolithic diet. In other words, eat like a caveman. So if you look at omega-3s, when we were cavemen, we consume an average of 300 to 400 grams a week of omega-3s. Now the average European is lucky if they consume 3 to 5 grams a week. So I think that's why it's so important to supplement your diet with DHA, because our meats a few thousand years ago were high in omega-3s. But unless you live in the U.S. and eat a lot of bison that is grass-fed, you're not going to have a lot of DHA in your diet. And because of pollution, the fish we eat is laden with heavy metals, so I don't recommend fish, particularly if the fish is big, for example, tuna. The FDA in the U.S. has estimated that only a 6-ounce can of tuna a week is enough to make you mercury toxic, and we're talking within the first week. I do not recommend those types of fish. In French, the word for tuna is garbage can of the sea, so tuna is not indicated. So that would be what I would say would be my first supplement for mental function. I think the second supplement that would do the best job for mental function is carnitine, but preferably the acetylated form of L-carnitine. Now, there is some controversies. Some people will say, well, all you need to take is plain carnitine. It will bind itself to an acetyl group once it's through the body. But the research tends to point out to the superiority of acetyl-carnitine versus L-carnitine for enhanced brain function. If the person has a hard time with concentration and they also have low testosterone, so the person doesn't wake up under a teepee every morning, okay, well, then I would recommend acetyl-carnitine. But at much higher dosages than what is recommended in literature, I find that when a person is deficient in acetyl L-carnitine, I tend to recommend 3 to 7 grams on an empty stomach in the morning. But I like to give acetyl L-carnitine supplement that is combined with our form of alpha-lipoic acid. The reason being is that Bruce Ames in his lab at Stanford has clearly shown that our form alpha-lipoic acid, which is a very powerful antioxidant, has a synergistic effect with acetyl-carnitine to restore brain function in animals. So, for example, when they combine the acetyl-carnitine with the R form alpha-lipoic acid, they had far better results than if they used the acetyl-carnitine alone or the R form alpha-lipoic acid. You got to realize also that R form alpha-lipoic acid also can chelate divalent metals, so it actually helps detoxify your bodies, and a lot of these heavy metals, which can leave traces of damage in the brains, will be chelated by that compound. So I would say my conclusion for my second best product, it would be acetyl L-carnitine combined to our form alpha-lipoic acid. So it's actually that nutrient combination that is best.
The fact that you recommend 3 to 7 grams in the morning, would that indicate that it's a stimulant for pre-workout?
It actually helps people have better workouts. The main reason is that combination raises dopamine in the brain. And as you know, dopamine is the neurotransmitter of motivation and attention span. So I find it's a great starter for the day.
Okay, so your relationship between neurotransmitter and exercise performance, is there a direct correlation? Or?
Well, there's a very strong correlation. If you look, for example, at fat loss patients, if you were talking about a clinically obese, one of their biggest difficulties to overcome is poor motivation. You'll find that this person say, well, I wish I could exercise, but I don't feel like it. If so, I always put them on the acetyl-carnitine product. Because what happens with acetyl L-carnitine is I found that when you supplement people with high dosages of fish oil, you actually need more carnitine-based enzymes to do the job. So the acetylated carnitine makes your job for fat loss far greater, but it also helps the patient have more self-initiative for training. If they have very low dopamine levels, I will recommend to add L-tyrosine to that.
Tyrosine.
But if we move on to our third product for brain function, I think that you should use a combination of three nutrients. And those three nutrients should be uprazine, which is also known as Chinese moss. It actually works very much through the same pathways as the Alzheimer drug Aricept. And what it does is it prevents the breakdown of the neurotransmitter acetylcholine. And acetylcholine is the neurotransmitter of memory. And you may say, well, as a sportsman, why would I need more memory? Well, if you have sports like American football, rugby, ice hockey, team handball, volleyball, there are certain plays you have to remember. And some athletes, especially nowadays, because of poor nutrition, can't remember plays. If you talk to modern coaches, they will complain that athletes don't remember plays as well as they did 20 years ago. So that uprazine will help with that. Uprazine prevents the breakdown of acetylcholine by inhibiting an enzyme called acetylcholine esterase. I used a compound and I combine it to other nutrients. The other nutrient that I combine with is vitamin B9, or so known as folic acid. But a lot of people have what they call the MHTFR gene, which means they don't do very well with folic acid. So I use a methylated form of folic acid called methyl tetrahydrofolate. So that would be my second nutrient that I combine with that. And the third nutrient that I would use in combination would be tocotrienols. Tocotrienols are a derivative of vitamin E, but they have brain-specific tissue affinity. So it's an antioxidant that actually kind of cleans out the damage of the free radicals have on the brain. So a combination of uprazine, methylated B9, and palm tocotrienols, I think is the key if the person has more of a memory problem. My fourth product of choice for athletes to enhance brain function is alpha GPC. GPC stands for glycerophosphocholine. Alpha GPC does wonders for athletes through many different mechanisms. It's a phospholipid that helps to repair actually the pituitary gland. And the pituitary gland, because of modern levels of stress, takes a beating. And it's been shown that it does regenerate the pituitary gland, whether you're 20 years old or 70 years old. Now, why would you care? Well, if you have a better pituitary gland, you can actually make higher levels of growth hormone. Growth hormone is a hormone that repairs tissue. They call it the hormone of youth. But from a neurotransmitter standpoint, alpha GPC increases levels of acetylcholine. And anytime you improve someone's levels of acetylcholine, what happens is that you actually increase nerve velocity. So a lot of athletes who have had a plateau either in speed or strength development will react very well to using alpha GPC. Now, how much do you need? Well, I find that most people do best taking between 400 to 1200 milligrams with breakfast and 400 to 1200 milligrams with lunch. It's a kind of a paradoxical nutrient because it actually works as a stimulant, so you should not try to take it before bed, but it actually allows you to have better sleep. So if you take it at the right time during the day, it does wonders for you. It's excellent at enhancing brain function in many aspects, ranging from attention span to memory.
And would you take that in conjunction with ALC? Or
you could. I mean, all these nutrients actually work better as a family.
All right.
Okay? But the reason why I give them this in this specific order, I'm thinking about a person who has a limited budget. So if you say, I can only afford one, well, I would say you have to afford the DHA. That's cheap. And then the next one would be acetylated carnitine with alpha-lipoic acid. That would be my second bet. And so on, you know. And then as we move down the list, my fifth one which I've used extensively in the past, is another phospholipid called phosphatidylserine. And it was, most of the research actually has been done in Italy, and it has been used with Alzheimer's patients. The biggest advantage of phosphatidylserine, let's call it PS for short, PS actually repairs damage that's been done to the nervous system. That's why it helps Alzheimer's patients. But for athletes, what's very interesting with it is that it is a compound that lowers the levels of the stress hormone cortisol. 800 milligrams immediately after workouts to blunt the cortisol response associated with exercise. The other big advantage is that PS can offset the dramatic negative effects of high cortisol on the brain, because cortisol, it actually oxidizes the brain. In other words, it makes it rust, in layman's term. If you look at athletes and incidence of Alzheimer's, you will find that the athletes most prone to Alzheimer's are aerobic-based athletes. In other words, the people most likely to suffer from Alzheimer's from the sporting world. So if you had the Olympics of brain degeneration, rowers and cross-country skiers would win gold and silver medals, because they've been shown to be the athletes with the highest amount of brain degeneration. And researchers blame the oxidative effects of cortisol on the brain for that decrement in neural function. So one of the advantages of being in fast-twitch sports like sprinting, throwing, jumping, is you have actually less brain degeneration. Obviously, the types of activity you do influence brain function. What you will find, for example, is that martial artists tend to keep their brain function to the highest levels, even in advanced age. We're talking 80s, 90s. And the main reason is that they have varying stimulus. So you get attacked from the left, from the front, from the back, from the right. So because of that, their brains have to be always learning new motor patterns. And the more new motor learning patterns you get, the better you will do.
Okay, so you see with the alpha GPC, your main gland, your pituitary gland, you're trying to regenerate. Mm-hmm. And with PS, you're trying to attack the hippocampus. Do you find stress is a real indicator for brain damage, and you really need to combat that with brain nutrition? Or,
well, I'm going to answer like a Jesuit priest. I'll answer with a question. Do you know anybody that's not exposed to stress?
No.
Okay. Well, that's the whole point. I mean, it's been estimated by stress experts that we have 100 times the stress levels of our grandfathers. Like, our grandfathers did not have cell phones, and did not have email, they did not have faxes. So there's tremendous pressure on people nowadays to perform. So, for example, they send you an email, and most people assume that that's the only email you will read today. Okay, but for example, for myself, I get 400 emails a day, and people say I'm quite cryptic with my responses. Well, if I want to answer 400 people, I have to be cryptic. So that does put a lot of stress. Cell phones are tremendous stressor to the human body, A, from the irradiation, but also for the fact that you have no privacy, no time. So I always tell my clients to get rid of their cell phones. You know, my clients tend to make a lot of money, and I tell them they should, you know, divert the stress to the secretary. The secretary should get all the phone calls. So, you know, stress does ramp up our needs for brain building nutrients. Our genes, you know, are not made for that much stress. So because we have so much stress, we deplete those nutrients, and those nutrients affect brain function. Because if you look at people 100 years ago, in their later years, their brain function was far greater than the ones we have now. And a lot of it has to do with radiation, you know, from anything from microwave to watching TV.
I've read some information about your biosignature and your cortisol in your biosignature. With PS, obviously, is one of your products. Would you use anything else to mediate cortisol?
If you want to protect the brain, actually the hormone that's going to do the best job is if you can control your insulin. Controlling your insulin is very easy. I can't control the amount of stress. For example, if you get served by your wife tomorrow for a divorce, and the revenue department knocks at your door and wants to audit you, and you get a speeding ticket, and your daughter comes home and she's pregnant, but she doesn't know who on the football team is responsible. Obviously, your stress levels will go through the roof. Yes. So, point being is that you need to quench that response, but you have no control about the stressors that will come into your life, but you do have a control over what you eat. And what you eat will control insulin. And what we know is that if you can mitigate insulin response, you can actually mitigate cortisol response 2.5 hours after your meal. So it is your job to eat well, balanced meals in terms of glycemic index, not necessarily based on what the food guide would tell you. If you do a good job at that, you're going to make less cortisol. And also having regular eating patterns mitigates insulin response. And by mitigating insulin response, you're actually going to make less cortisol. So no one has ever eaten anything by accident. I mean, that's one of the first things I ask my clients when they come up with more excuses than the pregnant nun for the eating patterns. Say, hey, have you eaten a donut by accident? No, I mean, you choose to eat that donut. So you choose. The only hormone we do have 100% control over is insulin, and that's control comes from what we choose to eat.
You mentioned earlier on about neurotransmitters and their effect in relation to the gut. Do you do anything in particular with the gut to help neurotransmitters?
Well, detox, you got to realize that certain neurotransmitters, actually 66% of our neurotransmitters are made in the intestinal lining.
Okay.
So, for example, serotonin, 95% of it is made in the gut. Serotonin is your happy chemical. And there are certain nutrients that ramp up serotonin. And I think it's really important to choose the right foods at the right time. One of the food combinations that raises serotonin, your happy chemical, the best, is actually rice and beans. Now, I don't know here in Ireland how much contact you've had with Latinos, but Latinos, let's say in the Dominican Republic, tend to be quite relaxed. So when you ask a Dominican, how are you? In Spanish, you say, ¿qué pasó? And they always answer, tranquilo, which means quiet. And I think a lot of it has to do with their diet. They tend to have a serotonin-rich diet. So I tell people to eat their carbohydrates later during the day because it favors better sleep patterns. So, for example, beets is a root vegetable that has been shown to increase serotonin. So at the end of the day, if you eat proteins that increase serotonin, like an example is Cornish hen. Cornish hen raises serotonin in the brain by actually building it up in the gut. Then, you know, by choosing the right foods, you will increase serotonin. But if your gut is dysfunctional because you have parasites, pathogens, it could range from yeast to Blastocystis ominous, you know, there's a lot of things that could disturb the gut. Your brain will not function as well. For example, recently I had an executive from a company, a supplement company, who had all sorts of concentration disorders and a lot of mood swings. And if you looked at the symptoms alone, she was quite deficient in serotonin. So what I did is I put her actually on a gut rebuilding protocol. And by healing the gut, you can actually heal the brain. There's a congress every year called the Gut, the Second Brain. It's actually a medical congress. And now we do know that our gut is responsible for many of the neurotransmitters we synthesize. Because, for example, you know, it's in the common language of any nation. For example, in English, we'll say, I have a gut feeling this is not a person to be trusted. You know, so we know for a long time that we've been producing neurotransmitters in our GI tract, but now science actually
it's proven it.
Has demonstrated, yes. So healing the gut can do wonders for your brain function. You know, very few people know that the thickness of the intestinal lining is only about as thick as your eyelids. And when you eat a lot of foods that you're sensitive to, for example, you're blonde, blue-eyed, and you're allergic to gluten, which is very common in blonde, blue-eyed people, well, that creates increased cortisol, so more stress hormone. And it's been shown that an increase in cortisol will actually literally drill holes in your intestinal lining. And when that does happen, you increase the number of food sensitivities you experience. And that increased level of cortisol by eating the wrong foods, again, will put more stress on your brain. So it's very important for a lot of people that before they get on these supplemental program for the brain to actually fix the gut, and then those brain supplements will work far better if the gut is healed.
Okay. So you would obviously do a food allergy testing on them?
If they present with a lot of symptoms, of one of them being, for example, brain fog, for sure I will run a food allergy test to see which foods are irritant to the GI tract.
Okay, and I've read some of your information before about hydrochloric acid and digestion. How do you integrate that into rebuilding the gut?
Well, oddly enough, at our Chicago Performance Center, we ran a test on 160 clients, and we found that 158 of those clients failed miserably the HCL tolerance test, which can be easily downloaded from my website. If you have low levels of HCAL, you will not absorb your nutrients very well. So again, you could take all sorts of supplements. If your HCAL levels are not up to par, you will not absorb them. So it's kind of worthless. My colleague, Dr. Ratkowski from Houston, Texas, lectures year-round on functional medicine. And I saw him recently in Phoenix, and I asked him, Bob, what do you think is the percentage of people who are HCL deficient in the USA? And you reckon that's at least 98%, which is pretty much what we found. So stress levels actually ramp down HCL production. I would say that HCL insufficiency in the stomach lining is the most underdiagnosed condition.
Just covered a few of your top five. What nutrition supplementation would you take pre-exercise or post-workout? You mentioned PS as a post-workout nutrition and ALC as a pre. Have you any other favorites?
Actually, the ones I described do best. You know, I like to train on a stable blood sugar, so I would recommend always someone takes DHA as a prime brain nutrient. I like to use the euprosine, methyl B9, and palm tocotrienols supplements, which is called Fast Brain, along with the Yang RLA, which is acetyl-carnitine and RLA, as a pre-workout stack, because you basically have enhanced dopamine and reduced breakdown of acetylcholine. I don't mind throwing an extra 800 milligrams alpha GPC to raise acetylcholine at the same time. Post-workout, I prefer to use PS as my favorite supplement.
Okay, you mentioned the element stress has on brain function. How does that integrate with the adrenal glands, and how do you assess your adrenal function?
The best way to address adrenal function is actually by using a saliva test, where we measure the ratio between all the adrenal hormones at various times during the day, and they should follow a specific curve pattern. In other words, in the morning, it's fine to have high cortisol. You should have high cortisol. But if you've been exposed to stress for a long time, you actually have low morning cortisol. And the symptoms of low morning cortisol would be, for example, having to press the snooze button on your alarm clock 17 times before you get out of the bed. So you're not ready when it's time to get up. With adrenal testing, you want to make sure that you use a kit that will ask you to measure saliva every 4 hours and four times during the day. And this way, we can look at the pattern, because the pattern between the different adrenal hormones is very important. So, for example, you may have people who are normal upon arising, but they have tremendous cortisol production in the evening. These people are what you call stressed and wired, so they have a hard time falling asleep. So the brain nutrients you would use in that case are very different. My favorite remedy for someone that is stressed and wired is a product called Serenity 2.0. Basically, it's a very old Chinese formula, that which main ingredient is Romania. And Romania is a botanical that basically calms down the mind. The original translation of the Chinese name for it means the Celestial Emperor's Serenity Pills. And since it takes 5 bottles to write the title, I've shortened it to the Serenity 2.0 because I've actually improved the formula slightly. And then I will give that to that person who feels restless and has a hard time dealing with, let's say, the person picks up the kids after work at daycare and they come home and the kids are being kids. And kids should be rowdy in the early evening, but a lot of parents can't tolerate that. Well, instead of smacking the kids across the head, I think it's better to take some serenity pills, chill out, and the evening goes much easier. And kids, as normal, will wind down and you'll be fine. So that's one of my best adrenal rebuilders.
With personal training, trainers that have clients that are quite obese and they're trying to change their diet, and very important to stick to their diet, or diet compliance is an issue. Is there any nutrition you would give them to stay with the diet, to give more motivation?
Well, the most important thing with diet is people raise their cortisol just with the word diet. So I never use the word diet, first of all. So I tell the patient, I'm going to put you on a new lifestyle. It's actually a diet, but it's rebranded, okay? It's like when police forces with chokehold bad guys, now in Canada, they call or restrain them. So it's the same thing, but it does just sound more politically correct. So I don't use diet, I use lifestyle. So I put them on a new lifestyle. And I find that if you want to be successful in the fat loss business, do not put them on a lifestyle right away. The first intervention I do with the clinically obese people is actually all I give them is fish oil, a large dose, and it's how you word it. I always tell a client, could you do me a favor? And they say, yes. And I say, I would like you to do this for me. I would like you to take fish oil every meal. And what it does, because it starts to stabilize their blood sugar and rebuild their brain, they start feeling better about themselves. But the most important thing about fish oil with a fat loss patient, in my opinion, besides mitigating insulin response, is actually it raises serotonin. And you only need a 40% deficiency in omega-3s to be serotonin deficient. That's why the highest incidence of alcoholism in the Western world is Ireland, Wales, and the UK. And why? Because that's where you have the highest amount of omega-3 deficiency. All you have to do is be 1 week in Dublin, and you find out that it's very easy to drive into town Mondays and Fridays. Why? Because they're hungover from Sunday, and they're hungover from Thursday night because they get paid on Thursdays. So, you know, that's why you got rampant alcoholism in this country. So I would say one of the best ways to help the obese patient is actually just through fish oil. And after, I find that after just a short 3 weeks on being on fish oil, then I put them on a lifestyle. And usually is what we talked earlier on. It is the paleolithic diet.
Charles, how do you integrate biosignature modulation with the brain nutrition?
They go well together. Biosignature modulation, for those of you who don't know what it is a system I developed over the years where I have made a relationship between hormonal levels and where people store their fat. In other words, your fat stores tell a story. As Bill Curtis, the TV producer of all these shows on criminals, would say, biosignature modulation is forensic nutrition. In other words, where you store your fat tells me a story of what is going on in your life. So for example, if you tend to store more of your fat around the belly button, that is associated with excessive amounts of cortisol being produced. And the research backs it up very well. I mean, it's quite well established now that there is regional fat deposits. So, for example, the person presents with high levels of fat around the belly buttons, we know that they've been exposed for a prolonged amount of times to high levels of circulating cortisol. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if that is the case, then for sure they've done a lot of oxidative damage to their brain. So that person will tend to complain of more brain dysfunctions, and let's say somebody who store more mostly their fats in the lower body, which is an indication of excessive estrogen-like compounds or various forms of estrogens in the body. If the person presents a lot of fat on the high cortisol areas of the body, then I'm more likely to suggest brain nutrition.
If someone does present with a stress pattern or high cortisol side, is there any different training protocols you would give towards that?
Well, they tend to be run down, so you can't. One thing that you would do with cortisol-laden patients is actually reduce training volumes. And the first thing you must avoid with someone with a high level of cortisol is actually aerobic work, because aerobic work worsens cortisol's damage, because aerobic work is associated with high levels of cortisol. And I've told you before, people who do the highest levels of aerobic work age their brain the fastest. We were designed, or whatever your beliefs are by nature or genetics or Darwinism, to throw the rock at the rabbit, not to run after it. We are not animals that feed themselves through aerobic work. We feed ourselves through short-term explosive anaerobic work. That's obviously 40,000 years ago, but our genes have only evolved 0.02% in the last 40,000 years. So the way our brain interprets is that we're still hunters who throw a spear or a rock at where we want to eat. It's not by opening the fridge door. So what happens is that we need to do more anaerobic work. I have a weight loss book coming out with Dr. Mark Houston from the Hypertension Institute in Nashville, Tennessee. And one of our greatest contentions is that people lose far more fat if they engage in more anaerobic work, i.e. strength training or interval training.
The time of the day that the stressed individual will train and the frequency of training, what would you advise?
Well, in my opinion, exercise is what we call a yang activity. Now, if you look at modern studies, because, I mean, there's not too many native populations who are still using traditional means of feeding themselves. I mean, the better studies were done, let's say, with Paraguay Native Americans. So in Paraguay, what they found, for example, is that the natives would spend the early morning hunting, and then after that, if they weren't too successful, they did some gathering, and in the afternoon, they played with their kids, they did pottery, they did things that would help their present conditions, but mostly the energy was for exercise, in this case, hunting, was spent in the morning. And I'm a true believer that people should try to exercise before lunchtime. So either, you know, what I recommend to people usually is go to bed earlier, try to go to bed with natural, and follow the patterns of, you know, the sun, and wake up earlier, have a good breakfast, go training, and then go to work. If that doesn't work because of the type of work, you may ask to have your lunch very early and instead go training and have a packed lunch and eat that at work. And what I find with clients is if they engage in that patterns, their sleep patterns improve, their energy levels improve, and their mental function improves, because you should exercise in the morning. When you exercise after work, it raises your cortisol, and you may most likely going to find it very hard to fall asleep. And then because you don't sleep well, then it's harder on your energy levels the next day. So there's always a price to pay if you exercise late during the day.
With the supplementation that you recommended, is there any main brand that you would advise?
Well, there's a lot of high-quality brands out there. But one of the problems I saw is that quality was not always consistent across different brands. And what I found a lot of times is that the company may have the best intent, but often we saw that the contents did not match label claim. So after a few years of playing around and having to deal with many different companies, I just started to make my own. So obviously I am going to recommend mine, but there's a lot of very high quality brands. A good telltale sign of a great brand is that you cannot buy it in a store. So in other words, you have to get it through a qualified health practitioner.
Charles, brain nutrition and children. What's your viewpoint?
Well, kids' brains are starving. I mean, kids are fed horrendous diets. One of the things that is quite sad is well-intended parents, for example, will feed their kids so-called organic cereals, but processed organic cereals. The truth of the matter is that those contain more brain damaging neurotoxins than actually the store-bought cereal boxes. Actually, you will find that if you eat the cardboard box, you have more nutrients than the cereal. The reason why organic processed cereals are more neurotoxic is that they're richer in protein, but these protein get distorted by the processes used in the factory. And when they are distorted, they become actually more neurotoxic because of the higher protein content. So one of the most important thing for parents to do is to avoid cereals as a staple for breakfast. I think kids, you know, I challenge people to try that. If you give kids more meat and nuts for breakfast, you will dramatically see an increase in their grades. So eating higher protein content at breakfast helps out a lot. There's a very recent paper at Harvard that showed that the higher the protein content of the breakfast of the child, not only do they perform intellectually better in the morning, but also perform better in the afternoon, regardless of what the lunch was. So it's being commonly accepted in functional medicine practitioners who deal with the brain on a daily basis that high protein breakfasts dictate neurotransmission for the whole day. The other thing I would do for the concerned parent is actually give children a highly concentrated DHA fish oil, because kids don't process omega-3s the way adults do. And because their brain is building, they need more DHA than they need EPA. And what people have to realize is that DHA as an omega-3 is one of the major building block of brain function. And people are realizing, for example, with juvenile delinquents that are placed in foster homes, and once they're in foster homes, instead of going to school without a breakfast, if you give these kids high protein breakfast, it could be as simple as a protein shake, and if you give them a DHA supplement at the same time, these kids who used to be what they call problem children behave quite normally. So with all my players, I recommend that the kids start eating like the parents, and they eat more protein for breakfast and they use a fish oil. And every single athlete has reported to me that their kids do far better in school than they used to.
Just on the last note, Charles, with the biosignature modulation, how would somebody find more out about it?
The quickest way to find out more about biosignature modulation is actually to log on to my website, which is www.charlespoliquin.com, which is spelled POLIQUIN.com. And just put biosignature in the search engine and you'll find all sorts of articles. I've got articles on how to modulate insulin. I've got articles on how to modulate your cortisol, how to increase your androgens naturally, and so on. So I would say that's the best way to find out.
Okay, Gerald, thank you very much.
Owen, you're more than welcome.
So that's it for this Poliquin podcast. Ask the Coach with Coach Charles Poliquin is an exclusive series of conversations. It is for the sole purpose of its audience. Any rebroadcast or reproduction of this is strictly prohibited. It is for entertainment purposes only, and it is not a substitute for professional medical or health advice, examination, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health professional before starting any new treatment, making any changes to existing treatments, or altering in any way your current exercise or diet regime. Thank you for joining us on Ask the Coach. Until next time, be healthy, lean, and strong.